Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. CBN News is reporting that former Tiananmen leader says that what China needs right now, the best hope for China, is Jesus Christ. Now, this is a former Tiananmen leader. You got to listen to this. But let me tell you, God is moving around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the nations are coming to Jesus. You got to listen to this.
Today marks the 24th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square protests. The bloody crackdown by the Chinese military drove one of the protest leaders into exile, but also into faith with Jesus Christ. Chai Ling now heads a ministry opposed to China's forced abortions under the one-child policy. She told a U.S. congressional subcommittee that her country may be materially rich, but it is spiritually poor and needs a moral anchor to restrain selfishness and corruption. She believes Christ is China's best hope, and she prays that Chinese conversions to Christianity will lead to a, quote, godly partnership between America and China. President Obama meets with China's new president next week.
How powerful is that? I mean, here's a leader protest. And now she's forced into exile, but she found the Lord. Let me tell you something. Just because things start out, you know, not good place, in God, they always end well. You know,
right.
It's right around the corner. God's going to just take care of the situation.
Yeah.
But amazing. Look at this. She says that although China is materially rich, they're spiritually poor. I can name another country like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hello, the United States. You know, materially rich, there's something that's happening everywhere, it seems, all across the world, that the answer to everything is more money. Is more money.
All right.
I mean, we just throw money at this, you can throw money at that, we throw money at this, throw money at that. And, I mean, my goodness, I mean, you would think that if you had all the money in the world, it would solve every problem. It would solve every problem. But, I mean, have we not, and many have fallen for that lie, but have we not seen enough of people in the media and entertainment world that have lost their minds?
Oh, yeah.
Who have been, have seen, vast wealth.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if money was the answer, why are they losing, some of them are losing their minds. Why are some of them, jumping out of windows, committing suicide.
Right. Constantly in and out of rehab.
Yeah, in and out of all these things. Come on now. Yeah. What's the deal here? What's the deal? And it's because money's not the answer.
Yeah, I think about it. As soon as she said that, as far as, we have material wealth, but we're spiritually not wealthy. I think about that's exactly what Jesus said to the church at Laodicea in Revelation. He says that, you say to me that you're rich,
and I have need of nothing.
Yeah, in Revelation 3, verse 17, he says, "You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." And he says, "I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich." And it's just like, rich is not the materialism in the eyes of the world. Richness is closeness and relationship with Jesus Christ.
I know, that's right.
That's wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you know what? That did not impress God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That did not impress the Lord. Your bank account, big or small, does not impress God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how people have been so easily manipulated by money. I mean, I've seen in just certain, listen, if you're elevating someone in your fellowship because they have money, if you're putting them in a position because they have some sort of, wealth, that is not good. God does not look at that stuff, and it's amazing. God is not into favoritism. He's not into any of those things. He's going to hold us accountable for that. He's going to absolutely hold us accountable. And listen, our answer is not going to be money. And let me just give you like a little clue here. In a little while, in a little while, there ain't going to be no more money left. There's not going to be any money.
No.
I mean, God showed us prophetically, showed me that the economy was going to be over in 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Prophetically speaking, that it was going to be a rapid thing. The world was going to change as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave me this dream. He spoke to me prophetically. And let me tell you, not just me. I mean, Greg saw money being just sucked up like a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a pyramid. And then at the end of it, it was like, it was all burnt up.
Yeah.
It was all burnt up. And you have what's going on in, I mean, Greece is really quiet right now. It's really quiet. But those dominoes will fall. We shared about how there's so many people in Spain that are squatting. They're staying in homes that have been absolutely abandoned, and no one's even coming to chase them out.
Wow.
Listen, these idols are going down, and if we've made money such an idol, not only in this country, but we've made money an idol all around the world. And this former leader is so true. I mean, now she has a ministry, and she's doing things to save babies and girls. But the answer for China is not, you know, it's not, the answer's not only for China, it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's for the whole world. We can't lean on false idols, and the biggest idol today is money.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the church itself, only 3% of the church, according to George Barna, actually tithes, right. Actually honors the Lord. And I think about one of the verses in the Bible that speaks about, says, listen, you're storing up all of the stuff in your barn, not even knowing that this night your life is going to be called from you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many people are investing so much in their homes and their own personal wealth and their own stuff, meanwhile leaving God's house, God's people destitute? There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And God says, bring your tithe into the storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, you can't serve both. You can't serve God and money. You got to choose who you will serve.
That's right.
You know, and let me tell you something. You rather have the Lord. That's an indictment. That's an indictment to be materially rich and spiritually poor. You know what? That's a good inventory for anyone to take. And when we say rich, understand that you live, if you live in America, in the top, what, 20% of the world?
Yeah.
I would probably say maybe 10% of the world.
Yeah.
Think about that. You are enormously rich. The poorest person in America, in these United States, lives on average more square footage than the average European. Not the poorest European, the average European.
Mm-hmm.
We have luxuries in this country that only some people can only dream about. Clean water. And you take a glass of water out of your sink. You refuse to drink the glass of water out of your sink because you say it tastes bad. And you only drink Evian or bottled water because it's just nasty what comes out of your sink. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, friend, that there's some people that don't even have clean water. They would love to have the water that you call nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, so often it's just like we take what God has given us, and it's like we don't even see. It's like we've been born into a lifestyle of comfort that now we become to expect and even now demand comfort.
And that's something.
Yeah.
And it's like, my goodness, if we don't take heed, if we don't have a checkup from the neck up, if we don't realize what is happening to us,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, We are on a slippery slope, and once you start sliding, yeah. You are not going to be able to get yourself back up. This is going down, but it can all be avoided. Let me tell you, there's hope for America. There is hope for the church, but the only hope can be found in Jesus Christ. The only hope can be found in the Lord and getting things right. I mean, how many times have people thought that money was the right thing, only to find out that, you know, there's an old story of the businessman. He says, I work so hard to get all this wealth and get all this money, and I need to put my kids to college, and I got bills to pay, I got mortgage to pay, I got all this stuff, and I'm going to just keep working the extra hour. I'm going to burn the midnight oil, and he's working so hard to climb up this ladder of success, and he gets all the way to the top of the building. He's made it. You remember those old Toyota commercials? The guy rides a Toyota and he stops a car and he jumps out and says, a feeling. Yeah. I'm dating myself. Old Toyota. He's jumping up on top of that building. I've made it. I've did it. I've conquered the world. I got the commas in the paycheck that I wanted. Mm. I bought the houses and I bought the cars and I bought all the stuff and I got it and I'm living the American dream. And he's getting caught up in this moment. All of a sudden, he's looking across the sky. And he's looking at the other building. And he's looking closer and closer. And guess what? Those kids, he says, they look like my kids. And that woman over there, that looks like my wife. Yeah, sir. You're spending all this time climbing this ladder, chasing the dream, chasing the money, chasing the lifestyle, mm-hmm. and you made it. You made it up the ladder. You did it. You're right. But your ladder was on the wrong building. Mm. Your family and God were on another building. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage this where America is at. They think that they've made it. They think that they've accomplished success. Because they've got the stuff. Let me tell you, stuff can go in a day. Hello, mm-hmm. Oklahoma? Yeah. Hello? You know, I mentioned that just to say that a short tornado, a tornado that lasts less than an hour, destroyed homes, annihilated them. And all the stuff that was there is just missing, broken, torn up, messed up, gone. Let me tell you, stuff, it's just stuff. You can't take any of these things with you. But it's better to be spiritually rich, to have your substance, your whole life built on God than on money.
Mm. Amen. All right.
Telling you, on money. And this sounds so agreeable, sounds so good. I'm telling you, do an inventory. Do an inventory, you know, and draw a line, take a white piece of paper, and then on the left-hand side, write materially rich, and then write spiritually on the other side, draw a line right down the middle. Listen, it's better that you inspect yourself now than to have this have God expose this to you later, mm-hmm. and you can't do nothing about it. Do an inventory of yourself. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to our ways. We should give thought to our ways. If you don't evaluate what you're doing today now, when will you evaluate
it? Yeah, that's all right.
And there's nothing like that heartache. There's nothing like realizing that you've spent your life. We talked about on VFN Radio, what are you going to do with the life, the time that you have left? But it's nothing sadder to realize that you spent your life on things that matter least. I often think about those guys during the Enron scandal, that big energy company in California, how many times those folks, you know, work the extra hours. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, you got to do what you got to do. God doesn't mind you having money and having nice things. He minds if money has you. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't mind you working hard, and if you had to do a little overtime here and there and, you know, doing the things to take care of your family, listen, all of that's within reason. But we're talking about beyond the reason. We're talking unhealthy. We're talking where this has consumed your life. There's more to life than stuff. He says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. But it matters what you seek.
That's right. It does matter.
It matters. You know, because you can spend all your time in the wrong place. At the wrong place.
Yeah.
And then when it's over, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for America. We're seeing all, you know, this nation has been so blessed, is oozing with so much wealth, and yet, you know, there's such a moral decline in our nation. There's such a moral decline in our nation. And it's so important that we turn back our hearts to the Lord. Let me tell you something. All this wealth is there's signs, it's evidence going to be brought up against us.
Yeah.
These chunks of gold, the stuff that we have is going to be thrown at our side and say, you've been so blessed. What did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah, when much is given, much is expected. Huh. And there's a lot of resources. You know, something that always just totally just gripped my heart when I found out, I think it was actually in you were talking earlier about Richard Warmbrand, and there was an evangelist. And he, I don't know, was in like South Africa or somewhere, a country. And he met a little village man, and he had one page of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even read it, but he knew it was from the Bible. And every day, and he couldn't even keep it in his Bible because it was in an area where there was Christians were persecuted. So he went like miles away and dug it in the ground and hid it.
Buried it.
Buried it. And every night or every couple of nights when he was able to, he would go walk wherever he went and buried it. And then he would just stare at it. And it's just like we have the whole Bible from cover to cover. We understand it. You can walk down and in this country of America, it's just like the blessings that we have just don't even begin to touch on the reality of how God has set us apart. I mean, we've talked about the birth of this nation, how this nation has come to pass, that we have aligned ourselves in agreement with Israel. And it's just like God sees that. And it's just like, okay, we are blessed. Every day we see God bless America, God bless America. And it's just like, no, God has blessed America. We need to acknowledge God, because if not, we're going to answer for that.
Absolutely.
We're going to answer for that.
Absolutely. It's not, you know, I feel convicted even saying God bless America. It's how much more blessing is he going to pour out?
Do you want more? Right. Do we need more?
Yeah. I mean, time for America to bless God.
Yeah.
That's what it's time for. It's time for America to bless God. I want to tell you, ask yourself the question. Are you materially rich and spiritually poor? Do the inventory.
Yeah.
Check yourself while you still have time. And if you got to correct it. Correct it now. Be on the right side of this. And say, God, I want to turn my life around. I want to be right with you.
Yeah.
I want a different result. I want to be spiritually rich towards you.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Floating on clouds, everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with Him forever and doing what He's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Speaking of wisdom, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9. This wisdom moment is so important because it's a time when we say, you know what? All the knowledge in the world without wisdom, which is the proper application of this knowledge, is useless. Mm-hmm. It only puffs up. So we want wisdom. We want, you know, God to give us wisdom. I hope today, as you're listening, that this wisdom is going to pour over you, because I really believe Proverbs 30, 7 through 9 reveals a lot about where we are as a nation, where we are as a people. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9 says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of God. Is that powerful?
That is.
That's so powerful. Mm-hmm. The writer of this proverb shares with us some great wisdom. Trying to keep the air from us, from touching us, is near impossible.
Right.
Swimming in the ocean and trying to keep water away from us is impossible. Living in the world where Satan has his throne, who is not only a liar, but the father of lies, as Jesus describes him, and his children, those who are held captive by him, spread his lies, is just as impossible to keep away from all of his lies. Mm-hmm. But with God, all things are possible. Our Lord can keep lies, falsehoods, away from us when we ask him and abide with him and say, Lord, keep falsehoods from me.
the wisdom, this particular wisdom that I'm talking about right now, blows the American dream of riches out of the water and exposes it for what it is. Don't give me riches or poverty, he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord to give him just enough to live a satisfied life where his needs are met. He exposed what riches quite often do to a man as he shares, I might have too much and otherwise disown you, and say, who is the Lord? Isn't it amazing when you see so many people desperate for work and desperate for a job because the job will provide the money, and they turn, they say, listen, pray for me. I need a job. I need a job. I need money. And they see God answer them when you pray for them, and God gives them a work, and all of a sudden you come up to them. Now they're comfortable. Now they have their money. Now they're getting paid. Now they've got their job and their house and their car and their stuff. They say things like, I don't know God. No. Who is this Lord? Over and over again. Jesus said this, it's easier to go through the eye of a needle, which is a narrow gate that people had to walk through turning sideways to get into the city. It's easier to go for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Paul tells his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6-12, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's time to be contented. Listen, we're in the top percentage of the world, America. For we brought nothing into this world, he goes on to tell Timothy, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we can be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation, into a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. I mean, this is what the writer of Proverbs is talking about. And Paul's confirming. He says, for the love of money, he's talking to Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, eager to get rich, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So the wisdom, this particular wisdom from this proverb is ringing even all the way to the time of Paul and Timothy when he said it still stands. This wisdom still stands. Jesus even clearly tells us chasing after riches or money is not a God chaser. If you chase after money, if you chase after riches, you're not chasing after God. And we're called to be God chasers, serving God. He tells us in Matthew 22:25, he says, no one can chase after or serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Listen, chasing riches, you know, when it's all about your job, it's jobs. It's no longer about God who gives you the job. Then the writer of Proverbs says, listen, and don't give me poverty. Don't give me poverty. He said, I may become poor and still dishonor the name of God. Oh, that we would have that revelation today, that people would understand that when we do wrong before others, we are dishonoring him. This is important to know, because when poverty comes upon a person or a people, the same tempter that tempted the man who was eager for money to fall into all kinds of temptations will also tempt that poor man or poor people that are in poverty to do things that dishonor God by being tempted to steal or to be untruthful about things, clothing, to be able to get clothing, food, and water, to be able to steal. And so by God, we're asking God, don't give us poverty, because poverty may tempt us, our own sin nature, to do things that would dishonor you. And don't make us so rich that we turn from you, because that'll tempt us. Give us just, and that number is different for everybody. Some people can't be trusted with $100, and some people can be trusted with $100,000.
Right.
So he said, don't give me poverty. But Jesus plainly tells us in Matthew 6, about this, about how do we do this? How do we get into this place, this sweet spot of not too much and not too little? He says, listen, in Matthew 6:25, this is what Jesus says. The Son of God says this. He says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies or the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like any of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, key faith, key faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? He says, for the pagans, people who don't know God, who are serving other gods, the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you have need of these. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. How to live that life in the midst of what this proverb, this wisdom moment is saying? Listen, go after God. Be a God chaser. Find out what God says. You know, he says, listen, he says, trust him. Become a God chaser. Chase after his kingdom, his way of doing things, his righteousness, and he'll take care of you. I mean, Psalms 37:25 tells us, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Mm-hmm. But that's us going after God. That's not us just saying, I know Jesus and he's going to take care of me, but living for the devil.
Right.
Jeremiah 29:11. Listen, God has good plans in store for you. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When we do right by God, he does right by us. When we are faithful to God, guess what? He's faithful to us. When we're not faithful to God, guess what? He's still faithful to us because he is a faithful God. He can be trusted. America is in this dilemma right now because the church has ran after riches. We sought after prosperity. We preached prosperity messages while leaving God's righteousness in a museum of historical consideration. In turn, we're losing our prosperity. We are called as God's people to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And in doing this, he will make our nation once again prosperous. We have to stop chasing riches. At one time, a president got into office because he promised a chicken in every pot. Mm-hmm. And now, even that is not considered a blessing to so many. But to chase riches, to chase prosperity is the quickest way to fall into traps and away from faith in God. We can't do that. We're not going to be able to chase money and chase God. This is our decision. This is the wisdom moment for today. And if we'll lose our prosperity if we do that. But I encourage you to join those who are chasing after God and become a God chaser, like Tommy Tenney writes about in his books, God Chaser. That's what we're called to do. And separate yourself from all the troubles that come with chasing after riches and begin to seek God and go after him and understand by your faith and knowing that he will take care of you, who's rich in mercy and full of grace. He will meet your every need. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs chapter 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still, and so dishonor the name of God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you just get enough light and word to get saved and find out where you are in Christ, but you spend no time walking out the word, it's not going to end well for you. There's going to be a lot of people who went that way, and they're going to encourage you on that wide way, and they're going to tell you you're totally fine. As a matter of fact, George Barna says in Barna Group, he does a statistical survey of the church, and he says 81% of regular church attenders who say they go to church, according to George Barna, don't even read the light. They don't even read the word. What does that automatically mean? They're in what? Darkness. And so you have a dark, spiritually speaking, people looking at a dark leadership, 530 people in Washington, D.C., and they're thinking that my darkness is going to change their darkness. It's like, that's foolishness. That's a riot. Yes, it's gross darkness. And not only does he say that 81% of the people who call themselves Christians are not reading the Word, he says that 19%, out of the 19% that are reading the Word, only 3% of them actually use it as light to get around. They actually read it and apply it to their life. In other words, they look at the map, they find out where they are, and they change their direction based on the map, on the Word of God. Which means what? 97% of the people who call themselves Christians, according to George Bonner, are where? In the darkness. That's why 97% are not giving to God in his tithes and offerings, because they're in darkness. They don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But what's so crazy is because they're not reading. They're going to Washington, D.C. and marching out there and complaining about them taxing them too much money on their taxes and doing this and doing that. And it's like, okay, you're saying that you're paying too much taxes while you're robbing from God. It's like, you need to get in the Word. It's not going to be good. Satan's going to eat your lunch. You're going there telling people how to be married and how not to be married. And look at yourself. If you read the Word, you find out your marriage is in shambles. Your children are just trying to survive your darkness. Come on. We wouldn't get in a fight. We're going to lose that fight. I'm just saying. 97% in darkness. Well, you could say, well, that's just terrible. You say, oh, I just need to be the light then. Jesus came as one and became many. Then we can become one in Him, and we can what? Become many. People just don't, the enemy has underestimated you and the power of your wattage when you decide to live a godly life before God. You walk in the workplace and the place goes, and demons are like, oh, she's here, he's here. Because they know you're the light when you walk in. They're like, whoa, whoa, Susie's here. Then they go like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that around you. You're like, how in the world would you even be bothered with that? What you did to me was worse than what you just said to me. Anyway, because they see the light, they know.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display His love and, you know, the power of His presence through the VFN family to just draw me to Himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
You-
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Mm. I think about it. I was talking about Jesus begins to explain what reality is. He's trying to give us some comparisons, and he talks about it in Matthew 22. He says, listen, he says the kingdom of God is like this. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about if we're in God's kingdom, this is what it's like. He says, there was a king, hint, Jesus. There was a king. Jesus is saying this now. This is not your local whoever, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is God's son saying, there was a king. And the king was preparing for a wedding banquet. And this is all about a bride. This is all about us being married to Jesus and the Father presenting us to his son as a bride. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the bridegroom. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be a big banquet. And it's appointed once for everybody to be there. But we're going to find out we're all not going to stay there. Because he talks about this is going to be a wedding banquet. And so this king prepares a wedding banquet. And he gets it all together. And he goes out and he begins to invite the people who was intended to be there. Hey, the wedding banquet's ready. Got everything going. You know, this is me right now telling you possibly, hey, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. You can come to this banquet. You can turn your life over to him right now. You can get saved, give your life to God, and begin to live for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says this. This is Jesus. So don't be all shocked and stuff. I mean, this is Jesus telling us what it's going to be like with some people.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to go.
Mm.
I am not going to go to your church gathering. Mm-hmm. I am not going to go sit down in a coffee shop and talk about Jesus. I don't want anything to do with it. They refused.
Mm-hmm.
Was God's intention for them to be there? Yes. Did he prepare all that for them? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that you're going to make it there? No. You can refuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus said they refused.
Mm.
So then he comes back and he says, let's go send them out again. Ask them again. Obviously, I'm going to give them what's on the menu. If I tell them all the good stuff that's on the menu, you know, we killed the fatted calf and, you know, we have gold streets and forgiveness of sins and relationship with the Father, and so tell them what's on the menu. If you tell them what's on the menu, you know, they just didn't hear clear enough. This is Jesus we're talking right now. And so they say, they go out and they start telling them what he said to tell them. And you're thinking, oh, this is it. They're going to come now. Obviously, this is it, man. They're talking about the fatted calf. They're talking about gold streets. They're talking about all this wonderful stuff. So they're definitely going to be at the party, right? Well, the first time they refuse. The first time they refuse to even go. I mean, how many Americans have refused to go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't mind being religious, but if you're going to require me to go,
right,
and do something. And this time, listen to this. This time, John, man, think about this. This time, they just didn't refuse, but they didn't even pay attention. They didn't even respond. No, that's just Greg talking about Jesus again. You know, didn't even respond. Didn't respond at all. That's major, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
That's so major. The fact that they didn't even respond. They didn't pay any attention to the messengers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And so one said this. He said, you know, I've been working at this company 10 years now.
Right.
I've been working 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus wants me to have a career, a career. And he understands that my 401k is there, and I mean I've got to be able to afford my retirement where I can continue to do nothing for God and get paid for it. And he understands that and says they went back to their businesses. Not only did they not even pay attention to the people that are talking to them about this banquet. This is Jesus talking. This is the kingdom of God. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And so they just refused.
Right.
And then this other crew, they said, you know, I'm not going to give up my house and my property and all that. I'm not going to give up my field.
Do you know how long it took me to how many mortgage payments I've paid on this piece of property? And and we got the wallpaper just right, or whatever color just right on, you know, I mean, everything, every piece of thing is just, oh, I mean, Jesus gave me this field. I would not leave it. Right?
Right.
That's right.
I'm sure he's cool with that. He's not. He doesn't mind that I just turned my nose up and walked away from him, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That was hilarious.
That's the ultrasound on the bottom. But do you remember the other ultrasound that you hit when you happened to be in the mining truck? Do you remember that? Pat, did you ever hear that story?
The brand new truck? Yeah. When you got your brand new truck?
Yeah, my brand new truck. I didn't
God
even
gave
drive
you that
brand
truck.
Truck.
Yeah. God gave you that truck.
Did he clobber something with your truck?
Well actually, no, what it was.
Big, huge orange cones.
Well, no, what? Let me tell you what happened. What happened was,
okay,
you know, John had this car. And the
is that what that was?
Yeah.
Wait, see, we started talking about a truck. So
we have to appreciate the truck, how the truck came about.
The story's not about the truck. It's not about you hitting this orange wall. That.
Well, I'm trying to move from the clack, clack to the plump. You know? So anyway, so John gets this truck. God gives him this truck. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, you know? And so he wants to show me the truck. And so he brings it to me to show it to me. And, of course, when I got in the truck. Well, actually, I had to drive it. Because if I got in the passenger side of the truck, I couldn't fit because my knees would be under my chin because he has to pull the seat so far up by the steering wheel to drive. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to have to drive this thing, you know, because my knees cannot be in my chin right here. You know, I'm not saying anything. I'm at.
You believe this, Pat? You believe this?
Yeah.
You know, come on now. So he sat in the passenger seat. I slid the telephone book off the seat and put it down. And I slid the seat back. But even the seat sliding back, it still was a smaller truck. Yeah, so, you know, I got in there. I'm just so bulked up from working out. You know, it was kind of tough to get up in there.
Yeah, right.
Lifting hot wings. And anyway, I get in there and I'm riding down a particular road and I'm like, man, this is a nice truck, you know? And John's just glowing because God just blessed him and all that. And they had these construction cones down the center of the road.
The big barrels or the like the little ones?
Yeah, you know, these are pretty huge. The truck, you know.
No, danger, danger. There's a cone here. You know?
It was a little people's truck. So I was like some giant in this thing. No, and so these cones look really like mountains when we're passing them.
Right.
And they seem really big, but I don't know what had happened. It's like an angel just pushed us over, and it's like boom, 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 boom. We just like I don't know, maybe about three or four of these cones. I look back at John's forehead was all wrinkled up, and he's thinking, "It's my brand new truck."
Trashed it.
You know, I always personally felt, you know, if you get something so nice. You know, the first thing you do is you need to scratch it and get it over with. Just mess it up. You know, yeah, because it's like, you know, you're going to be worried about it.
Quickly.
Well, you surely helped me with that. You took care of that. You took care of the scratches.
So it was a white truck, but it had like a fiery orange pattern on the side of it. No. And I really, I didn't. I just, I don't know how that happened. I have no idea that happened, but it was a very, very interesting.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so then, this is how the king responds. And so Jesus has given us a hint that this dispensation of grace will not last forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, okay, cool, all right. It's not gonna last forever. It gives us time to repent. And he says this very specifically. The king was, and not only that, listen to this. Not only did they refuse to listen to him, refuse to stop
change their job or give up their job for God or mm-hmm. leave their property. But then they actually mistreated them, ridiculed them, blogged on them,
yeah.
put, you know, gossiped. And because you understand when somebody's doing something wrong, the way they deflect from that is to make other people look wrong. I have a mm-hmm. good case study for this, but we're not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that. And so then they even killed him. They killed him. Listen, he won't shut up. Go put Jeremiah in fetters. Just shut him up because he's telling us we need to leave our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Jesus says. He says, the king was enraged. Mm-hmm. He was enraged. Think about it. What is he saying? There's going to be a day that this loving Jesus, this loving king,
that's right,
he's going to be enraged and he's going to be trampling down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Mm.
That his garments will be covered with the blood of those who walked away and chose everything other than him. But you have to understand, we're choosing to be under the hoof of his horse. We're not, he's not telling us. He's saying, no, that's not what I want. No, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying, I choose to be trampled.
Mm.
I choose. He says the king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Do we really think in America, if we keep walking away from God, do we really think that we serve a different Jesus?
Mm.
That he's not upset. I mean, he loves us. But you've never been angry until you loved, because there's nobody that can make you angrier than people that you love.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's a dangerous anger, right?
Right.
Somebody gonna get hurt.
and so understanding that so all of a sudden, do you think we're not gonna suffer consequences as a nation if we keep on turning our backs away from God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And saying, you know, we're just too busy. Don't you? I understand we're robbing you, God. I know we're 97% of us are just not even giving to you
really,
what's yours.
How long is that going to last?
Yeah, and only 17-19% of us, you know, are even thinking about reading, you know, what you have to say.
Mm.
And most of that is like yada yada, everybody, because only 3% are reading in the context of wanting to apply it to their life. Well, 3% are saying, yes, I'll come to the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
This is important because there's a gospel being preached that says, hey, as long as you show up, everything's cool. Just, mm-hmm. you know, as long as you just show up, you know, that being invited means you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to his servant, he says, listen, I want you to go out there and I want you to find anybody and everybody. I mean, go in the streets and just tell them all, the good and the bad. Just get them all in here.
Mm-hmm.
Get them all in here, right? And what happens with that is that a lot of people have been convinced that because God loves them, because God invited them, then there's nothing required on their behalf.
Mm.
Nothing at all. And so they say, you know what? And then they justify where they are because of the grid. They do put a grid down and say, well, listen, he didn't even listen to Jesus. And he didn't even come. And she didn't do this. And I am here every single twice a month.
Mm.
Every single twice a month, I'm here.
Bi-weekly here.
That's right. I even teach whatever that class was called, they told me to teach. and so there's this feeling that, and people are giving people the impression, because you showed up, you're right.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, Jesus said, the king begins to walk through the banquet and he starts looking at this one particular person. He says, how did you get in here?
Right.
Of course, the explanation would be, I was walking around and they told me, whosoever will, come, whosoever will, come in here. I
mean, just show up.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, and it's like they would have this conversation. But the king says, you're not even dressed. You're not even dressed the way you should be dressed.
Right.
You're not even wearing the wedding garments. Well, you don't even belong here. You don't even belong here that you... how did you get in here? And then this is what the guy says. The guy says this. He says, mm-hmm. he looks at the king.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at the king and he says nothing. He's speechless.
Mm.
He's speechless. Think about it. He's speechless.
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
You can't say nothing. Why is he speechless? Because he wasn't dressed. You know what? Nobody told you had to be dressed. And let me tell you what the dress is. The dress is what he tells us in Revelations 19, 6 and 8. He says that they are clothed with the righteous deeds of the saints. You have to do something. You're known by your fruit. You're known by your deeds, what you do. You're going to be naked if all you did was show up. You have to make him the Lord of your life. You have to be his disciple. You have to be fruitful, and you can only do that by abiding with him. Listen, he was naked and speechless because he didn't know God. He said, many people are going to come to me that day, Matthew 7. He says, Lord, Lord, did we not? You're not, your fruit is not your gift. He says, your dress, he says it very specifically in Revelations 19, 6 through 8, at the banquet, at the wedding banquet, he says, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And it says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Listen, don't listen to people who are telling you don't have to walk this out, that you don't have to be fruitful, that you're not known by your deeds. Over and over again, look at Revelation over and over again as he's writing to the church over and over. You think about it. Revelations 2 to the church of Ephesus, I know your deeds. Revelations 2:19 to the church of Thyatira, I know your deeds. Revelations 3:1 to the church of Sardis, I know your deeds. Revelations 3:8 to the church of Philadelphia, I know your deeds. Think about it. Think about this. Think about this. Think about it. That faith and works go together. Faith and deeds go together. Listen, America, we've got to stand up and do what's right. And we can only do that through Jesus Christ. We cannot. It's not going to end well for us. Why? Let me tell you why. As we're close, let me tell you why. Because this is what happens. This is what happens. Jesus then says this. Take rope, tie his feet, tie his hands, and throw him into the fire where there's weeping, darkness, and gnashing of teeth. For many have been invited, but few are chosen. It's so important to listen. You can't just sit there again and again and do nothing and expect and watch people be the church while you yourself, literally just, you're a voyeur just watching righteous deeds of the saints, why you yourself are naked at the wedding banquet and not realizing that he's going to begin to walk through the crowd and he's going to say, how did you get in here? If you say you were invited, you're absolutely right. But if you say that you became a disciple of Jesus, you'd be absolutely wrong because we're known by our fruit and our deeds. You show me faith without works and I'll show you.
That's right.
Faith by works. Listen. He calls it useless. He says it's useless faith. And let me tell you something, America. Our religion is useless outside of us getting involved in doing what our Lord and Savior Jesus commanded us to do.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come and get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. AB Mobile Mechanics. Fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps. On-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.